What a beautiful day, and we are here in church. I hope all of you admired the piece of art that's right in front of the church. Living art, that beautiful golden yellow tree. Did you see that this morning out there? That God has made standing right there in our parking lot, and how it's changed over the seasons, welcoming us, reminding us that we serve a wonderful God who has created a beautiful world for us. Well, all of us here have survived another Houston summer. We ought to get a certificate for that, shouldn't we? We're enjoying a beautiful time. It's great to be living in Houston at this time. Francis and I have been gone. We've been traveling some, and we're with a dear pastor, a Chinese friend that we had worked with living in London. And a couple of Sundays ago, we were at the London Baptist Church there, and I got to hear a sermon in the English service there by a Chinese guy from Scotland. And so it was Scottish English. It was a little bit hard for me to understand, but it just shows the interest that people have coming to church in all sorts of dialects. But I prefer the Texas dialect. It's easier to understand. In our scripture today, we have a very familiar passage that I hope all of you have read before and are aware of these powerful truths and principles that are found in this passage. Now, if you have your Bible and you want to keep that open, we're going to read slowly and look at some places here and there, and we're going to see what God has for us today. There is a purpose that we have this word in clear modern English, in Chinese, and hundreds of other languages. That purpose is that God wants to edify his church, to strengthen us, to understand him better, to obey him more fully. And that purpose we want to accomplish today with his will. Now, in this story here, we have two men. We have the name Cleopas of one, but you know, we're not really sure exactly who they are. But we do know that they are followers of Jesus and have been with him for all those years of his ministry. Now, it says here in verse 13 where we started out, now on that same day, it's important to place when this story took place. So what is that day? You know what day that is? That's Easter. It's Easter. How many sermons have you heard about Easter morning? We hear a lot of those, don't we? Today we've got a sermon on Easter afternoon and what happened there on this little road right here. These men were walking to a village, and we have the name of the village, and it says it was about 7 miles away from Jerusalem. Now, all of our ministry, except the last few years, have been overseas, and when I looked at this, I had to say they were about 11 kilometers away from Jerusalem, because you don't use miles overseas, right? Just here and in England. So they were walking back home, and Emmaus is west of Jerusalem. So they're heading west, and guess what's in their eyes as they're walking along? As maybe we could say they're kind of trudging along. We're going to look at these men, and we're going to look into their heart, the emotions that they are carrying at this moment of Easter afternoon, walking away from Jerusalem, having been in Jerusalem that past week with all that tumult and all the chaos and the horrible things that happened in the city of Jerusalem. Who wouldn't have known what happened in that city? But for some purpose, very important, Jesus is going to show up at that moment, and Jesus wants to help these two men understand and capture something important that they had not seen and understood. Now, as in verse 14, it says they were talking with each other about everything that had happened that past week. And in verse 15, it says they talked and discussed. Now, here they have two verbs about communication here. They talked. Well, why do we need discuss? Because this discuss gives a little bit of an idea of maybe an argument, maybe back and forth of ideas. Well, you know, Jesus this, but yeah, but why that? You know, I don't understand. They were discussing all of these things. And as they were trudging along, Jesus comes and walks beside them. But the Bible tells us they were kept from recognizing who Jesus was. Jesus had an important principle. He wanted to communicate something very important to them and did not want to make them himself known at that moment. So Jesus invites them along and walks and says, "Now, what were you guys talking about now? You know, what were you talking about?" And it says here, they stood still looking at Jesus. "Well, you're coming from Jerusalem, and everybody should know. You mean you don't know?" And here it says here in the Bible, they stood still, their faces downcast. What does that word downcast mean? Sad, depressed, hopeless. So they're going back home, you know, kind of looking down and talking with each other. They're downcast. This is Easter. Why, Easter is a day of joy, isn't it? When we come and celebrate Easter at our church, one of the big words that we think about is joy, victory over death. These men hadn't understood. They had heard a rumor, you know, some of the women said, you know, possibly he rose. But, that's too hard to believe. So one of them named Cleopas asked Jesus, "Are you the only person visiting Jerusalem who does not know what's gone on there this past week?" I cannot imagine a most ironic statement in the entire Bible. You know, here they're asking Jesus, who personally has gone through all of this, and they're asking him, "Do you even know what happened?" He was carrying the scars on his back, the holes in his hands and his feet as he walked along with them. And here they're asking him such an absurd question. "You mean you don't know? Everybody was talking about that in Jerusalem." Well, Jesus says, "Okay, but what things? I want to hear it from you. Tell me what happened from your perspective. Let me hear your personal testimony. I want to hear it from you." Excuse me. And so the men begin this explanation to Jesus, about Jesus. So Jesus is going to hear from them what they think went on this past week. And here it says, look at this. Look at the facts that they're going to give here. Well, his name, they got the name right. Jesus, the place that he grew up, Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth, that was a title he went by. And then they got another thing right. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed. Powerful in word. He was a great speaker. The Bible says that when Jesus spoke, the people were in awe because they hadn't heard anybody teach in that way. He was powerful in his teachings, and he was powerful in his deeds. What were these deeds? Why, the blind could see, the lame could walk, even the dead would rise. Just shortly before this time, Lazarus rose. Wow, he was powerful. And then what did they go on and say about him? They said that, the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and he was crucified. More facts. He was sentenced to death. You know, it was a false trial full of lies, and he was tried, and he was sentenced to death. Even when Pontius Pilate wanted to wash his hands and have nothing to do with it, they pushed through, and Jesus was crucified. That's correct? So they've got all these facts correct. Now, you and I, most of us, probably grew up in church. And some of you, I've heard, that have grown up in this church for decades and decades. You went to Sunday school, and maybe you or your kids are in Awana. You know, we've learned all of these facts. And we people in the Bible Belt, in a way, we're living in a dangerous situation. We've heard it and heard it and heard it, and we know the facts. We know the story. But many times around us, when we look over those people who've got their theology right and all those facts, we do not see the life of Christ lived out within them. It's a great danger to have all of those facts but not understand that we have to obey Jesus our Lord. It's not just a word that we say, Jesus our Lord. It is a relationship that we need, that we obey him day by day, step by step in all that we do, understanding that he is God, that he gave all of himself in suffering for us, and we owe every breath that we take to him, And one day he's coming back. And one day we're going to be standing before the judge in heaven. That's our Lord Jesus. Not just the person in all of those stories that we may memorize and know and talk about and appreciate. Well, you know, they had sympathy. They said, you know, he was a great guy, a prophet, and he preached really well. He did amazing things. They had the facts. They had the sympathy for Jesus. But they didn't really understand who he was. The person of Jesus, the Messiah, the risen Messiah on that morning, had not yet transformed their lives. And here they go, walking away, disappointed. They had knowledge, sympathy, they had facts, but no faith. And that's a dangerous place to be in. It's almost like you can be vaccinated with that knowledge and not really come to understand that you need a transformation of your life. We need to be born again. We need to walk daily with the living Christ. Well, they tell a little bit more to Jesus. They tell that story of the women who had gone early in the morning to the tomb. And they came back running and said, wow, he's alive. He's risen. He's not there anymore. And he says, and this is Cleopas and his friend telling Jesus, you know, well, you know, some say that, but they didn't see really his body. His body. Bodies belong to dead people, don't they? Corpses. He was still thinking, Jesus got to be dead. You know, if you go to the tomb, you go inside the tomb to lay the Chinese hell. Incense, thank you, okay. The spices, you know, hell, to put that on Jesus' tomb, to go in there, then you must find a corpse. But there wasn't one, was there? Jesus is alive. He's up and gone. What did the angel say to the women? What are you looking for alive man among the dead? He's alive. He's alive in our world today. His spirit is alive in us daily. Here, sitting here, he is alive in you. And when you get up and walk out of here, his spirit is alive in you, going with you, going forth into the world to be able to tell others, to live your life daily in obedience to him who is our Lord. Well, the men got finished. They finished with their testimony, with telling Jesus all about himself. And now comes Jesus' time. And he starts out with kind of a scolding, you know. He listens to these guys, and in verse 25, he says, wow, how foolish you are. And you're slow to believe. Imagine having seen all those miracles and heard Jesus preach. And you didn't really get it? It's what he's saying to them. He said, you are slow to believe. All the prophets have spoken. Where are the words of the prophets that were spoken? Where are they written down? Of course, in what we would call the Old Testament. But for the Jews, it would be the Torah, the Tanakh. It would be the Old Testament. And so here Jesus is going to preach a sermon. He's going to give them a seminary class lecture like they've never had before. Jesus is going to explain who the Messiah really is. Verse 26. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, beginning with the Pentateuch, the beginning with that, and all through here, Jesus walking along, explaining why the Messiah was who he was and had to suffer. Had they not read Isaiah 53, that beautiful passage in the Old Testament? It is by his suffering that we are saved, by his stripes that we are healed. So clear in that. And here these men had walked daily with Jesus. They had broken bread with him. They knew him, seen him, but they still had not captured in their heart who he really was. And I think one of the key verses in this whole passage here is verse 21. Here's what they say. After they explained to Jesus who he is, they said, but we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. We had hoped. Now, talk a little bit about grammar. Had hoped is called the past perfect tense. It's in the past, and it's perfected and finished in the past. So what did they have in the past that is finished? Hope. We had hope when we started out with Jesus. We were excited and we had hoped. And then the more that we saw, of course, occasionally there were these fantastic miracles, feeding of the 5,000, the bread. But then Jesus started talking about suffering. He started talking about sacrifice. He started talking about going to Jerusalem and dying there. Oh, wait a minute. That's too hard. We had hoped he was going to be the one to save Israel. What did they mean by that, to save Israel? What does save Israel in their thinking really mean? For them, it was a political leader. It was somebody who would rally the troops around. And who did they want to get rid of in their country? They wanted to get rid of those Romans. They wanted somebody like Moses to lead those Romans out of Israel, go to the Red Sea, open it up, and okay, Romans, you guys cross back into Egypt, and I'm going to close the water over you. That's what they have wanted, some guy like Moses. Some guy like Moses who would pray to God and bread would fall from heaven. Oh boy, wouldn't that be great to have a king who could protect us, who could give us bread every day? That's what I hope Jesus will be. You know, all this meek business that he's doing. Come on, we're waiting for that moment that you're going to overthrow the Romans, the hated occupier. But then now he's dead. They captured him. You know, he was able to raise the dead. And then he allowed himself to be beaten, humiliated, killed in the most horrible, painful, disgusting way on the cross. He allowed all, that's the wrong one. We wasted 3 years following him, thinking he was going to be the one to redeem Israel. You know, sometimes we have false expectations of Jesus too, don't we? Oh, got to give me that good job and, you know, these prayers and just give me this and just give me that, you know. We kind of mix an idea of Jesus with Santa Claus, don't we? And all mixed up. Jesus, give me this and give me this. Now, new Christians, you know, many times they approach God that way, don't they, you know? But that's a misunderstanding of who God is, our Creator. What do we owe God? Everything. We are his. The breath that we breathe comes from him. How are you ever going to pay for that? It's there. It's his life. Well, we've got to move on. And these men had their eyes opened and they heard and like, oh, wow. So they approach this little town, Emmaus here, and they insist, Jesus, come on. He pretends he's going to go on. Come on and sit down with us. Come to my house and have a meal with us. That wonderful hospitality of the Middle East. And, you know, the Bible teaches us to be hospitable people. You know, at times it said that the hospitable people entertain angels. Well, here they're going to entertain Jesus himself. Wouldn't that be wonderful to come into our house and sit at the table with us? So they're at the table with Jesus. He breaks bread and gives thanks, and their eyes are opened. And then Jesus' mission is finished with these guys. They understand, and he is taken away. He's gone. And then here is their reaction. Wow. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They ask each other, were not our hearts burning within us when he talked with us on the road and opened the scripture? We understood. Our hearts were burning in us. And at times, when you're with the Lord, does not your heart burn as well? That's the Holy Spirit moving in you. It's not just an emotion to go, wow, you know, but it's something to act upon, something to follow, something to obey. Their hearts were burning within. And then look at their reaction. Look what happened to them after they really understood. They got up and returned to Jerusalem. Now, the two little words that I didn't read in that. They got up and returned to Jerusalem. They got up and what? At once, they returned to Jerusalem. Now, they have just walked 7 miles. And they sat down. You know they are exhausted. These guys are tired. Walked 7 miles on that dusty road. And here is the meal right there before them. Jesus had just broken the bread. They're just about ready to eat, and you can imagine how hungry they must be. But now they understand. They got up and they raced back to Jerusalem to share the good news, to say, he is alive. We saw him. Jesus changed their life. And that's what Jesus does. He changes our lives. We can't be the same once we understand who he is and what he has done for us. We can't go on and just be the same. We want to praise him and in awe every day. Thank him and obey him. And that's what they did. They got up, they ran back, and they told their friends what they had seen. Can you imagine them getting up from the table and Mrs. Cleopas there, hey, aren't you going to eat dinner? You know, she had fixed dinner for them. And off they go. We can't. We don't even want to eat. We're exhausted, but we're going to rush back and tell our friends, Jesus is alive. And we have that same message today. Jesus is alive. He's alive in the heart of all of his followers. So because he is alive in our heart, let's get rid of false expectations. And only thing we need to say is, Jesus, tell me what to do. Make your will clear to me, and I will obey you. And our lives, our church will be transformed. Praise be to God that he loves us, that Jesus took the time to go out of his way for these two men. And Jesus will do the same for you. Amen.